So as this story continues, we find our way in the last two verses in John chapter 15. So we started in verse 1. Now we're in the final two verses of the chapter. And here's what Jesus says as he's looking at his disciples. He's continuing this powerful message on the vineyard, the vine, the branch. And he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." I want to preach a message to you that I'm simply titling, Abiding with the Helper. I heard it, okay. Abiding with the Helper. We talked about abiding with the vine, how the branch has its only hope by abiding and staying connected to the vine. We talked about abiding with the Father and the Father's role in fruit bearing, right? For those branches that may even be in a barren season, but still in Christ, he lifts them up that they would produce more fruit. For the branches that are producing fruit, the Father, as we abide in with the Father prunes us, he stretches us, he cleans us, he even will cut and clip at different things that don't need to go with us for the purpose of even more fruit. He also teaches us that in doing so, John chapter 15, in those first 10 verses, what happens? Through fruit bearing, God gets glory, we get joy. Jesus says, in fact, it's not just regular joy, it's fullness of joy. And then he moves into abiding in his love. And as we abide in him, we experience his love. And through his love to us becomes love through us. And then we love one another. And then again, God gets the glory. Then he talks about abiding in his word and how his word in us, to us, through us, right? And so I love what Pastor Mike preached last week on abiding in the word. Wasn't that a good word for Pastor Mike? Come on, amen. Helpful word, breathing in, breathing out, right? His word is something that we abide in. Now, here's what I want to say to you today. I just want you to hear me on this. And I want to speak from a position of transparency, all right? A little bit of authenticity. One of our values here at Walk, right, is authentic community. I don't want to play fake church. Can I get an amen? Right? Let's just be the very honest, real, authentic you. I'm going to do that for me, even as a pastor, as a leader. I attended the Deepen Conference. I love the Word of God. I believe in what Jesus is speaking here in John 15 about how we need to be abiding. We need to be investing, right? We need to stay connected to the vine. I'm sufficiently inspired by this. But can I just tell you something? Sometimes my prayer life looks like this. Lord, I need help. I just want to ask an honest room. Is there ever anybody else in the room that just feels like, God, I get it. I'm a believer. I'm with it. I just need help. Anybody? Anybody on this side that's like, no, no, for sure. I went to the conference. I love the Lord. I know that I'm supposed to read the Bible. I got 18 of them. I just need help. I know I'm not supposed to sin. I know I'm supposed to stop doing this and that. I get it. I'm inspired. I need help. Hey, aren't you grateful that God, in his sovereign grace, knew enough to know that John 15 doesn't close with Jesus now saying, all right, go get him. Good luck. I'll see you when you get back. Do your thing. No, no, no. The script actually has more to the story. Check this out. We got three main characters. Here they go. Jesus is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. And then we are the branches. But wait, there's more. Hey, let's go. Right toward the end of the game, checks in a new main character. Woo! He's a star player. He's a key contributor. Checking into the ball game is the helper. Oh, I love it right here. Come on, look at John 15, verse 26. Where did he come from in the story? Hold on, but when the helper comes, woo. Oh, man, I'm grateful that the Lord doesn't expect us to do it all on our own. In fact, he knows that what he's calling us to is going to require a supernatural boost of help. And so what does he do? He sends the capital H helper. He says, whom I will send to you. So Jesus sends the helper from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. Do you know what I see in this text? I see all three Trinitarian members at work. In the garden, in the vineyard, you see God the Father at work. You see God the Spirit at work. You see God the Son at work, all in us to help us actually win, to help us succeed, to help us bear fruit. Oh, friend, I feel like I need help. Come on, listen, we live in the age, the era. It's the Amazon age, right? Like the other day, Nina ordered something. It was super late at night. I was like, how are you going to get that? She says, oh, it tells me it's going to be here by 7 a.m. I said, how? Who's up? How is it? This is going to get here tomorrow. She's like, it shows me. And it was right there. Ding dong. There's the package. We live in this microwave Amazon culture, right? Where it's like, if your phone takes 3 seconds to load, it's too slow. You're going to the store. You're like, hey, come on. Some of y'all need to remember the AOL days. Hey, we were cool, too. We were like, hey, it just takes a little time. We're getting on the internet. It's going to take a little bit. Ain't nobody in a rush. I'm not going nowhere, right? You download or you click a website. It takes another 15 seconds to load the website. We were cool. It's not that era anymore. So we live in the Amazon era, not the abiding era. Because the abiding era is slow. So Jesus is really expecting you to connect and engage with him, not trying harder, remaining longer. Not working harder to produce fruit. I'm telling you, if you see a branch on the side of the road and that branch is just spazzing out trying to produce an apple, it's not going to happen. The branch's greatest hope is if it could get connected and grafted into a vine and stay there long enough for the fruit to actually be produced. I think for us in the quick, rapid fire, like right when the light turns green, beep, go. We live in this era where it's so fast paced. Listen to me, church, to do something like what John 15 is talking about, no matter how inspired you are, it's going to take help. You and I need help. And I'm grateful that the Lord was intentional to send the helper. I want to abide with the helper. I want to give you three thoughts, three points, three takeaways on how you can go deeper in your abiding with the helper. Point number one, this might be simple, but please don't miss it. Point number one, if you're taking notes, embrace the help. Come on, don't reject it, accept it. God is wanting to help you. Embrace it. Come on, don't war against the help that God is in fact sending your way to try to get you to the place that he wants you to be for your good, for his glory. He wants to help you. Friend, I want to encourage you to embrace his help. Remind you of a quick verse that has always been challenging for me. It's always a good reminder. And it's always a good warning. I'm going to give you a warning today from Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. Look at this verse with me. In fact, let's read it off the screen. Ready, set, go. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And this verse teaches us that if you ever see a moment that has to do with destruction, something got destroyed, there was a fall had taken place. Here's what this scripture is telling us. The wisdom from God's word is that if you unlayer it back one step, here's what you'll find: pride. Pride went before the destruction happened. Hey, that was a bad fall. You see, that person fell. What happened? How'd that happen? Well, a haughty spirit happens before a fall. A haughty spirit is a spirit that says, look at me. Everybody, it's all about me. Whatever it is that you do or whatever it is that you have, you want it to be front and center so that you can get the attention and you can get all of the glory. And that's a haughty spirit. Check out what I have. It's better. That leads to a fall. Can I give you the definition of the word pride? A good definition of the word pride is this: me. I'm not just saying me specifically. I'm saying you. How can you know if it's pride? Is it all about you? I think it's this sense of an independence. I'm independent, Lord. I don't need you. And a branch that says, I don't need the vine, is deceived and broken. Pride goes before destruction because pride thinks that I'm able to do it my own strength. And what we're realizing is we're not able to do it in our own strength. We need to embrace his help. I think that everybody who made up a 2025 goal list, you got a cool little pretty screenshot on your phone that says my 2025 goals, I'm going to check them all up. I don't think anybody put destruction. My goal is to destroy myself. I don't think anybody put, oh, man, I'm planning for a big fall this year. So how are you going to avoid these two things? Right? You got to reject pride. You got to embrace the help. You got to say, you know what? I don't want to be defined as prideful because God opposes the proud, but he does give grace to the humble. Humility goes before honor. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. So I just want to encourage you, don't have this mentality here in the room or online where you think, hey, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough. Brother and sister, I love you enough to tell you you're a branch. Branches need help. God sends help, capital H, help, his spirit. Love what John 16, verse 7 says. Jesus continues this sermon, right? It doesn't end at chapter 15. He actually has a little bit more content that he continues to minister to his disciples. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. We should lean in. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. I love that right there. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I know, disciples, you guys are a little nervous about what's going on right now because Jesus has been preparing them. Hey, I'm on my way to the cross. I'm going to die on the cross, a brutal death, a bloody death for your sins. It has to happen. In fact, even Peter one time tried to stop Jesus and said, not on my watch, which was a foolish thing for him to say. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, right? Because he was trying to interfere with the plan. And Jesus is teaching them that he's going to do this, and then he's going to rise from the grave, and then he's going to ascend into eternity. He's going to ascend into heaven, the Father's right hand. And so he knows that the disciples are processing all of this. But here's what he tells them as an encouragement. I love it. He says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But watch this. If I go, I'm going to tag him in. A powerful tag team moment right there where Jesus tags in the helper, the Holy Spirit who comes to us and is with us, helping us in our abiding 24/7 until we get to heaven. Come on, amen. We had the poetry night. I love that. Says, I'll send him to you. When he sends help, embrace it. Don't reject it. Come on, accept it. I want to encourage you to consider that as you are growing in your walk with the Lord, wanting to go deeper in 2025. John chapter 14, verse 15 and 18, similar language. Two chapters previous than 16, Jesus still ministering to his disciples. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's interesting is this is the same thing that he says in John 15. So Jesus actually repeats himself. You know why? Because we be forgetting, church. Literally, same quotation. Didn't we just read that? Yeah, he said it in 14. He said it again in 15 in case we missed it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is love-based obedience, not fear-based obedience. We're being obedient because we have a love posture for the Lord, and we trust that he's helping us. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you occasionally. Are we tapped in? Hey, that was right. Let's try that again. I'll ask the Father. He'll give you another helper to be with you unless you mess up. Okay, my bad. I'm just making sure. He says, I'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Come on, right? I love that right there. He's not going anywhere. Embrace the help. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Oh, what a verse. Man, we just got to get close to Jesus and his word and abide in his word and be reminded of what he's spoken. Reminds me of the message we heard at the Deepen Conference from Pastor Michael Altacori, right? He talked about not having an orphan spirit, but having a family pass, right? God gives his children a family pass, access to him and all that he has. Let's not settle when you can have help. Embrace the help. I think sometimes we might be concerned, man, if I really let the Holy Spirit in, what's going to happen? Can I just tell you, he's going to help you. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Another good reminder. What's going to happen if I get too close to the Holy Spirit? Well, the Lord is spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, friend, there's freedom in the Spirit. Amen. I think that we should embrace the help. Don't disgrace it. Embrace it. Holy Spirit, I'm recognizing, you know what? I need your help. Point number two, embrace the help. Point number two is listen to his voice. If you want to go deeper with the helper, you're going to need to listen to his voice. Listen to me, church. Don't just embrace the help that comes from the Holy Spirit, the helper, and then put your headphones on. It's like, okay, I got the Holy Spirit with me. He has sent help. Mute. Don't silence the Spirit. Come on. Listen to his voice. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to impart things to us in this season that require a great listening. Here's what he says in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Again, Jesus speaking to his disciples in this same book. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Did you catch that? Yep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Come on, somebody say no one.
No one.
Somebody say no one.
No one.
No one. No, no one will snatch them out of the Father's hands, out of the hands of the Lord Jesus. Come on, right? I love that right there. He says, my sheep are listening to my voice. Here's the two analogies that the Lord has given us in the Gospel of John so far. One, you're a branch. Two, you're a sheep. Sheep were not the smartest animals in that day and age, right? The sheep's greatest hope was if it had a great shepherd. That's where they knew where to go. That's how they got fed. That's how they lived. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, I would say today, I don't think that there's a physical, alive version walking this earth individual named Jesus. I don't think that there's a physical Jesus that's, in fact, if physical Jesus is around, he needs to preach, right? Like, let's have him lead it, and let's actually leave here and go find him and go follow him. I don't believe that there's a physical Jesus walking around on this earth. You know why? Because he tells us where he's at. He's in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, right? He's in it with me. He's fighting for me. He's praying for me. God is not against me, right? Jesus is there. So now if he says, my sheep hear my voice, well then, what voice are we hearing? How are we hearing his voice? I believe it's a combination of the Spirit and the Word. We're hearing the Holy Spirit's prompting. It's being confirmed through the Word. We're listening to the Word. It's being confirmed through the Spirit. That's why when it comes to the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, it says the sword of the Spirit. And then in parentheses, it says, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Jesus uses this word, this book. I believe the 66 books of the Bible are perfect for us and our growth in our training, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired and breathed out by God for our correction, our reproof, our leadership, our growth, in order that we would be complete in as men and women of God following him, right? And so I believe that he speaks through his word, and I believe his Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us. Confirmed through his word, abiding in his presence, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? I just want to encourage you to be open to his leading, open to his prompting, to not leave the Holy Spirit here at the school where when you walk into this place, you go, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. But when you get back home, say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me now? What do you want to say to me in my daily rhythms? What do you want to say to me in my daily living? What do you want to say to me at my job? What do you want to say to me at the coffee shop? You know, I had a cool moment this past week. I don't know if this individual is here or not, but if you are, we're glad you're here. I met a young lady at a Starbucks, and she saw my Deepen shirt. Let's go. And wanted to comment, like, what is that? Following Jesus beyond the surface, she'll end up looking for a church, has been trying to find a place to worship, got to invite her there on the spot. She's like, yo, this is crazy timing. I just want to be obedient to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? I was at a shoe store at the same time, met a guy who worked there, and he said, well, hey, tell me about what you're doing. I got to tell him about the Deepen Conference. He goes, dude, I've been looking for a church, and so is my mom. Can I bring my mom? You can definitely bring your mom.
Yeah.
You better believe it. I want to listen to the Spirit. What I would tell you, Walk Church, hear me on this. Anytime I've walked past the leadership of the Spirit and didn't obey his leading, I've regretted it. Every time the Spirit has prompted me to do something, say something, go somewhere, I was glad I did. I was at a place just recently, and I just felt, this might sound a little bit bizarre to you, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, don't leave yet. Just stay a few more minutes. It was, listen to me, here's how I know. It was 2:46. I said, Holy Spirit, I'll stay till 3. Felt peace about that. At 2:57, an individual recognized me. And he said, hey, are you a pastor? I've been looking for you. I want to get connected. I've seen you before, but I never got a chance to talk with you. And what did I do as I walked to my car? Lord, you were right again, right? I got to write this in my notes. Holy Spirit, I'm glad that I felt, I'm glad I didn't say, that was just, that was what I ate for lunch. No. I want to be keen to the Spirit's leading and prompting to share something with somebody, to go somewhere, to do something. I love in the book of Acts, you find a guy named Philip in Acts chapter 8. It said, the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, go to this specific place without any direction. Philip goes to this specific road and he sees a guy in a chariot, an Ethiopian man reading the prophet of Isaiah. The Spirit tells Philip to run to the chariot. Can y'all see him? Hey, what you reading? He says, the Ethiopian eunuch on his way back to Africa had just came from Jerusalem. He went there to worship. He's on staff with the queen, Candace. And he says, I'm reading Isaiah 53. He goes, do you understand it? He goes, I don't understand any of it. Can I jump in with you? Come on in. Philip jumps in the chariot. And it says, beginning at Isaiah 53, he explained the passages to him and told him about Jesus. He happened to be reading the passage that says, by his stripes we are healed, right? By his wounds, right? Talks about how this, Isaiah 53, right? How this Messiah would be beaten and bruised for our iniquities. And here's the Ethiopian eunuch. And then he preaches to him about responding to that good news and being baptized. And then the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, there's water right here. What's stopping me from being baptized? Philip says, pull it over, bro. I came here for this. I'm just walking by the Spirit. Oh, man. Y'all gonna have to do this as homework. Go read it for yourself. He baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah.
He comes up out of the water, and the Spirit of God took Philip to another place, Azotus. Yep. It's the first ever teleportation in the Bible. Right. It's the only one I know of. Yeah. It says that Philip came out of the water after baptizing him and recognized he was in Azotus. Yeah. And you know what it says? So he went on and he kept preaching, he kept sharing, he kept leading. And the Ethiopian eunuch kept on going. And what does that mean? He was the first ever convert of Africa who would take the gospel back to a very important position as a representative of the Queen of Candace. I think the Holy Spirit's looking for people in the room. Who's open to my leading? I'm not going to give them everything up front. I just want to see who's willing to go, who's willing to say yes, who's willing to stay a little longer, who's willing to be open to his prompting. Amen? One, embrace the help. Two, listen to his voice. Point number three, and we'll close. You ready? Point number three is this. Run the play. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, run the play. Run the play. Church, listen to me. I don't think we're talking about going deeper. Deeper with the helper. I don't think embracing the help and listening to his voice is enough to fully catch what I'm trying to communicate or what Jesus is trying to communicate, more so through John 15 and beyond. It's one thing to say, okay, God, I'm embracing the help. You're with me. It's another thing to say, I'm listening to you now. Lord, speak. It's a whole other thing to run the play. I think that we could get nervous about this because you know why? Just hear me for a second. I'm just envisioning somebody. Maybe it's just me. And you know what? You got your nice coffee in one hand. You got some quiet worship music in the background. You're saying, hey, you know what? I'm believing in the abiding principles. I'm going to do it. I even got my abide shirt on. And I could just see you get on your knees. You set your coffee and your butter croissant down. And you go, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. And then the Holy Spirit says, go apologize to that person. And then you go, nope. Right? You say, okay, Holy Spirit, I know that you want to help me. I'm listening. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to start tithing. Don't let your money tell you what to do. You tell your money what to do. And you go, nope. Holy Spirit, what do you got for me? Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, give me a word. I'm listening. I'm ready to run the play. I'm ready to embrace your help. What you got, Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to stop going to church once a month. I want you to go every week. And we go, oh, man. Listen to me, church. This really only works if you run the play. If you're going to embrace the help and listen to his voice, oh, brothers and sisters, hear me. You'll find the most amount of fruit if you run the play. Hey, it's about to be February. It's the final weekend in January. You know what that means? Come on, Annette, I know what you know what it means. You got your Bills shirt on, right? It's football season, okay? And there's some big games happening, and the Super Bowl is right around the corner. I've been learning a lot about football as of late, and one of the things that I've been really studying or looking more at is the quarterback position. And I think the quarterback is so important, so essential with the game of football. But I've learned in the NFL and even in the collegiate ranks, you'll find that in the quarterback's helmet is actually like a little headset speaker where the quarterback, although is gifted, although has been practicing, although has all types of strength and skill, the quarterback is ultimately not the one that's calling the shots. Did you know that there's a little speaker in the quarterback's ear that is directly to the offensive coordinator and the head coach and the coaches that are up there above? And they're giving him the plays. They're saying, hey, here's what I'm seeing from the defense. Here's how it looks out there. Here's who's hot. Here's who's not. Here's who's in the game with you. Here's what you need to do. Let's run this play right now. You know what the quarterback needs to do? Run the play. Walk, church, listen to me. Come on, give me some eye contact. You're the quarterback, all right? You're the quarterback in the story, and there's being plays called from above by God the Father, God the Son, the offensive coordinator, Holy Spirit, is speaking to you, and he's saying, all right, here's what we're going to do. I see the defense. I see how the enemy is working. I see how the opposition is trying to scheme against you. Run the play. I'm telling you, a quarterback doesn't get far if the quarterback shuts that little mic off and says, I'm going to do my own plays. You got a couple plays to maybe try that. It's probably not going to work, and you're going to get sacked. The Holy Spirit's trying to block you from getting sacked. Church, the Holy Spirit's saying, okay, hey, listen to my voice. Run the play. And maybe you would say, well, I hope that the Holy Spirit gets it right. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit's nickname is the helper. He's not going to tell you something that's not going to help you. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you to stop watching something, it's because he wants to help you. The Holy Spirit prompts you to stop smoking something, it's because he wants to help you. The Holy Spirit prompts you and says, stop drinking something. He wants to help you. The Holy Spirit prompts you and says, I want you to do this. I want you to stop doing that. Come on, don't take that as a religious smack in the head. Take that as the Holy Spirit saying, oh, I'm giving you the play. I can see the enemy. I can see the defense. I can, listen to me. The Holy Spirit's already in tomorrow, family. So if the Holy Spirit's already in tomorrow and he's giving you the game today, you should listen and you should run that play. Don't be the quarterback that tries to go do his own thing or her own thing. You got to be able to have the humility enough to know and trust the true vine, the vine dresser. Look, God the Father, the vine dresser, sees the whole garden. He sees all the branches. He sees all the fruit. And he says, hey, this pruning might hurt a little bit. Cutting this out might not feel the best, but I promise you, it's for your good. It's for his glory. God the Father has dispatched the helper for your good. Embrace the help. Listen to his voice. Come on, say it with me. Run the play. Here's what I believe. Pastor Mike, listen to me. Here's what I believe. In a room this size with this many people, I think if we all go back to our respective places and we all commit to running the play, we're going to change the city. Right. Woo, we're going to change the world. If everybody in this room that came to church today says, Holy Spirit, I'm surrendered all to you, my blessed Savior. I'm holding nothing back. I'm surrendered to your voice. I'm ready to run the play. If we all do that, oh, snap. We'll build the building. We'll see people come to know Jesus. We'll see people get baptized every single week. Let me show it to you one more time. John chapter 14 teaches us, John chapter 15, verse 26, says that the Spirit bears witness about Jesus. The Spirit in you is going to bear witness to those around you about Christ. And listen, you don't do the saving. That's his job. The branch just has to stay connected to the vine. Let me give you one more verse as we prepare to close. I was looking in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. And the same author writes an epistle, another letter in the Bible called 1 John. And here's what John says there. He says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. Maybe you're thinking, how do I know if I'm abiding? He's given us his Spirit. The answer is the Spirit. The key is more of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Lord, fill us up again. We need a fresh wind. Pour your Spirit out. I want to be led by you. As I pray, I want to pray a verse over us. And I want us to see one more passage as we get ready to pray and we'll close. It comes from a moment where the disciples asked Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, Lord, teach us to pray. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus begins to teach them how to pray, what to pray, a template for prayer. But he closes with this verse. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Come on, that's a little strange, right? Like, imagine a father, his son says, hey, dad, can I have a fish? And the dad says, gotcha, here's a snake. Then he says, wait, what if he asks for an egg instead the father gives him a scorpion? That's even more bizarre, right? Now watch this. He says, if you then who are evil, which Jesus kind of calls us all out, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, right? How much more? So Jesus is this paradox moment, right? He says, now think about, you know, even you individuals know that that's not good gift giving. A scorpion for an egg, that's not accurate. Jesus goes, even you know that. Now, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you can take God at his word and trust that he'll send you the helper. Amen. So that's my prayer for us. I want us to just take a moment. Let's go to the Lord himself. Let's ask him for his help. And if you are lacking in the area of the Holy Spirit in your life, ask him and believe that he'll provide and send his Spirit for you. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you now in Jesus' name. And with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I'm praying for every brother and sister, every saint in this room right now, every person who came in here wandering or lost. God, if there would be one person in here that needs to respond right now, put their faith in you, Jesus. I pray this would be their moment to do just that. If that's you, maybe you came in here and through the worship, through the preaching, you just recognize, you know what, I'm a sinner. I've been prideful. I need to repent. And today's my day to receive Jesus as my Savior. For the first time, I'm ready to do that. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? I'm going to embrace the help. That's you. See different people taking a step of faith, lifting their hands. God, I just pray for every person online and in the room that's lifting their hand right now. Would you pray this prayer with me? Would you just say, Father, I believe. I believe that you died for my sins. God, I believe that you rose from the grave. I ask you now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I turn from my sins, and I'm ready to follow you. Lord, help me as I follow you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.